Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg. And today, after some audio difficulties on both our ends, Carl's finally joined us. Hi, Carl.
Hi, Fred. I'm really glad to be here.
Appreciate it. I can hear you now. That's great. Well, when we were at RAMS, we didn't take the chance to sit down and record any of these. We knew we could do it remotely. Although I did have the chance to do a couple of sessions with Andre live, and that was a completely different experience, sitting across the table and talking shop, basically. I think we're getting pretty close, though, in these remote sessions.
I think it was remarkable that we could you could sit at RAMS in the coffee shop and do recordings that didn't have all the background noise.
Well, yeah, they did. I think the early morning ones, the first ones I did, were it was pretty quiet in there. But about 10 o'clock, they came in and started pouring ice into the buckets, and they started rolling carts around.
So you didn't have your ice noise.
Yeah, I didn't have it in all of them. But yeah, Diane, my wife, has been doing the editing of these, and she spends about an hour to hour and a half on the ones we did at RAMS for the different interviews because of all the different noises. And also, I wasn't very deliberate about just keeping it in a structure. So sometimes we recorded the intros afterwards, but it was fun. We got to talk to a bunch of great people.
Yep.
So anyway, I'm running those, by the way. I think they should be all complete by the time this recording gets out. But what we found at RAMS, and I'm thinking what we see is we look at our list of topics and the types of questions that we get from listeners. There's plenty of topics to talk about. I think we don't have a lack of that.
There really is.
Yeah. And one of the things that came up it's not the direct question the person asked me the other day, but it was a question of, you know, is this a good outline for a reliability plan, was the framing of the question. Mm-hmm. And it listed basically just a bunch of tests. It was environmental tests and some life tests.
Wow.
And I know that you and I have talked about program plans and planning and so on a number of different times, but it just struck me as that, how are you going to judge those tests, whether they're useful or not? Or they, you know, if you run an accelerated life test and it says 90% will survive 1 year, well, is that good enough?
Exactly. Yeah. It's, you know, we, in talking with you many times, we often share our enjoyment of Stephen Covey's literature. Mm-hmm. And of course, he says, begin with the end in mind. And if you begin with testing, you are actually starting with the end. You're not beginning.
Well, it comes to my mind is that you're creating a measurement of something, and you're grabbing a convenient tool. But it's, I think the metaphor I'm thinking of here, struggling with a little bit, is I'm reaching for the yardstick, which I use all the time. But in this particular case, I need a micrometer.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what I'm trying to measure yet without having the goal set up at the start.
We have to, in any reliability plan or any reliability activity, I think you always have to start with requirements. It just seems like the only place that you can begin. And not just requirements, of course, that are numbers. And we've had some other sessions talking about this. But the full definition of reliability requirements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's the probability and duration elements. The 98% last a year, for example. But there's also and what you're alluding to is, well, what is the function? What is the specific function for what you're going to evaluate or your building and so on? But then also its local environment, its use conditions and all those things. So, and we've talked about it before. It seems like we've talked about a lot of things, Carl.
Yes. What's interesting, Fred, is we always have to start with where are we on the system hierarchy? So if the project is a large system, well, then we have to start with system reliability requirements. Mm-hmm. If the project is a widget, then of course you can begin with the widget requirements, but you'd have to know where the widget sits in the system hierarchy. So I always, let's just say, for example, we have a system, a complex system.
Oh, like a car, which you know something about.
Sure, like a car or like an aircraft or a medical device, whatever it is. If it's a complex system, then we'd start with system reliability requirements, which would include the system functions, plural. It would include the environment and operating conditions of the system and the other portions of reliability requirements, including time. But then once you have the system requirements, because you can test the system requirements, but very often you also test to subsystems and components, the task becomes decomposing or flowing down, or if I might use the A word, allocating the requirements to lower levels. And that task of flow down of requirements also has to be embodied in the reliability plan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree. And it's, I've seen, I don't know how many different plans. That example I mentioned at the start was it really looked like it was inserting into a larger program plan that had the reliability goals and requirements and the flow down. But it didn't reference that, and it didn't point back to it. And it looked very, very similar to a plan that was really just a list of tests, you know, standards-based type tests. But setting the goals helps to avoid that, you know, we always do it this way kind of mentality.
I think there's a comfort zone with, I know that I grew up in reliability through testing. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people do. It's kind of the bottom line. Let me turn off my. Hold on a second. get out of my Outlook, which just encroached on our discussion.
Yeah.
The testing is where so many people, including myself, and I'm sure yourself, are very familiar with reliability testing, and if you don't have some degree of a template or a discipline on reliability planning, I could see how some people would default to what they're most familiar with. So I've kind of disciplined myself when I'm in conversations with management or talking with project teams to always begin with discussions around objectives and targets and requirements.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then we can start from the right place. So any reliability plan, just to kind of get back to our original topic, has to begin with good reliability targets and then flow them down to the right levels, which itself is an interesting subject. What's the correct methodology for reliability flow down?
Well, there's that. Yeah, it's I actually worked with a group at Hewlett-Packard years and years ago where they were struggling with how to do that allocation. They had a system goal. They had been to one of the classes we held internally, and they knew about a series system block diagram. And they were like, well, what numbers do we put in the subsystems? And so they called me into this meeting, and they said, well, we don't have any data. We've only really have tracked the system level failures in the past, and we have a system level goal. And so I pulled out my calculator, my trusty HP Scientific calculator, and said, well, how many subsystems do you call here? And we just did a little bit of quick math, and came up with a reliability probability of success, the goal, probability wise, of just an even allocation across the board. And then, right. you know, and just
in
came up with a number.
A series model, I'm assuming.
Yeah, series model. And we just said, all right, well, what raised to the fifth power would, for these five subsystems, will achieve the reliability goal? And then, you know, half the people in the room panicked because there's no way they'd make that. And the other half were happy because it was a piece of cake. And then the discussion started. But then we very quickly went into, well, you know, the ambient air temperature around the outside of your box is not the same as what's around your power supply. What's the environment around your power supply?
Exactly. There's a flow, there's a decomposition. And if you think about it, all of the portions, all of the aspects of the definition of reliability decompose to mm-hmm. lower levels. So you can start with the system functions and then decompose, or some people call it system mapping or function decomposition. The functions flow down mm-hmm. to lower levels of subsystems and components. Similarly, the operating conditions, like you mentioned, flow down or allocate or are different at lower levels. And similarly, the reliability probability numbers. I think the only thing that, and in fact, I'm just going to answer my own question here, which is, does time flow down? And the answer is probably yes, because some components are limited life and others are not. And so each of these definitions of reliability or the portions have to be allocated to lower levels.
Well, yeah. And an example that comes to my mind of the time part changing is that some parts of a system are only used, say, for diagnostics.
Right.
And so they might only be used at this, like a vehicle. When my car starts up, it does some kind of self-test and says, hey, everything's connected and I can sense the tires are there and you got oil in your engine and whatever else it does, and says, ready, and gives me a happy little chime. But it only does that a couple of times a day at most, whereas other systems are, you know, once I start the engine, then those systems are running full time and the paint's working 24/7 on the hood.
Right, right. And I'll throw another wrench into things, which is the subject of safety is different, because think about your airbags.
Mm-hmm.
Your airbags have a very different operating conditions and also a very different reliability number as a safety system. So you in other words, you may tolerate a certain reliability that relates to performance of non-safety performance of like the paint on the roof,
mm-hmm.
but you have a very strict requirement for airbags. And it's not as simple as just allocating the numbers.
No, it's very, very much so. Just the start of the conversation.
Yes.
It's just to get started. But I think the basic notion here is that I think we're stressing this reliability requirements because it's essential. I think setting up a plan or doing risk assessment and doing test planning, both require what's the goal, what's the allocation down to you, those elements you're going to be talking about in detail.
I think that's the takeaway from this conversation. Is you always start with the goals.
Yeah.
And the rest of the plan flows.
Yeah. And you know, you haven't done it when you get to that final design review and you present all of your test data and the program looks at you and says, well, is that good enough?
Is that good enough? And you go, whoops.
Well, how good do you want it to be?
Yeah.
It's kind of late in the program to be asking that.
It sure is.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's wrap it up here and say, you know, it's one thing that we find that is, I don't know that it's commonly left out, but we've seen it more often than not, mm-hmm. that the goal isn't clearly stated and it isn't broken down to the subsystem so that you can facilitate the rest of your program and the planning you need to do for reliability. So it's just a reminder. I think this whole episode is just a reminder is to set that goal and set it in a meaningful way so that, and it's including all of the elements. I think that's the other key takeaway, Carl, is it's the function in the environment as well as the probability duration that get allocated or broken down or decomposed to the various elements of your system.
So, yeah, very good.
All right. Well, now that we've got our system working, we should probably sit down and record another session here. But let me finish this one off. And as a listener, please let us know. Carl and I have got a topic from another question that we heard about that we're going to talk about here shortly for our next episode. But if you've got a question or if you've got a comment for one of these webinars or one of these podcasts, let us know. You can find us at reliability.fm. And under the Speaking of Reliability, there's our sequence of show notes and recordings are there. You can leave us a review on iTunes or a podcast session. We check those periodically. Or just send us an email directly. If you go to reliability.fm, it has ways for you to get in contact with us and let us know what's on your mind, what you would like to virtually pull up your chair and have a cup of coffee with us, and what should we talk about. So with that, Carl, I think we'll wrap up for today.
Thank you, Fred.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.